This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 180 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. Hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there, Gamecock Nation, having fun with family, friends, chilling by yourself, having some drinks, having some food. Football is in full swing. Fall is here. That air this weekend just had that chef's kiss of fall in it, and just really no better feeling than that. But was a fun weekend, busy weekend, I should say, rather, around Gamecock Nation and Gamecock Athletics. I'm going to get into a full review from the football game, really focus in on that, talk about just kind of where my head's at. Maybe some of y'all can relate or not after that game. But before I do, want to get into a weekend review from the Carolina Athletics program, starting with Friday. Women's soccer beat Vanderbilt 3-1. Way to go. Men's soccer beat Kentucky 1-0. There you go. I actually think you're probably supposed to say nil. I think that's the soccer term if we're talking about like football, right? Women's volleyball beat VCU 3-0. And then women's cross country finished second in the Gamecock Challenge. I think that's really where we as Gamecocks, the Gamecock program, hosted the cross country event this weekend. It was in Columbia. The team actually put out some pretty funny content where they filmed the girls before the race. Like, hey, I'm so-and-so. This is me before the race. And then after the race. And it was like they were unbothered. They just ran a cross country race. And it looks like they just took a walk. If that was me, and I put this out on social media, I was like, I'd be hunched over, sucking wind, with a water bottle in my hand, just waving away the camera, just like, get out of my face. So, wildly impressive stuff from the women's cross-country team. And then on Saturday, women's volleyball unfortunately took the loss to Winthrop 3-1. That's all right, girls. You'll get them next time. Which brings me to the big event from the weekend, the rivalry game against the Georgia Bulldogs for the last time that we know it as true Eastern rivals within the division and everything like that. And it's weird. I at first was like the no division thing. I see that it will feel weird, but I was like, it'll still be fun. It was weird to think that like there's not this, I'll wait till next year with these guys. And it's that case with Florida, Tennessee. So definitely kind of a weird feeling with it being that last true annual matchup, at least in the short term, right? We don't know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years from now if they move to pods and things like that. But nonetheless, the Gamecocks did fall after a very tough, hard-fought game to the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs 24-14. And, you know, we had them on the ropes. We really did. Our team stood toe to toe with the defending back to back national champions in their place in the rain and had them on the ropes, had them right where we wanted them. And it was really just a tale of two halves where once halftime came, Georgia made some adjustments that South Carolina, we just could not counter effectively. I think you saw depth rear its head where Georgia is just a deeper team on both sides of the ball, and it showed, right? But I am incredibly proud of how our team performed in that environment, in those circumstances, with everything going on, and it kind of shows you a glimpse of like where this program is really headed. Because a program that's headed in the wrong direction does not look like the team that we saw, especially in that first half, right? You lost by 10 points. We were 28-point underdogs. Every expert had us falling and giving up 50 sacks and everything like that, and it was setting up to be like an embarrassment if you listened to these people. The Gamecocks did not listen to the noise, and they showed up, and they gave their best effort. And there's people out there who will say, well, that's, you know, moral victories and things like that, excuses, things like that. That's not what this is. And I think two things can be true at the same time, right? Losing sucks. Yes. I want to win. I want to see our team win. I'm never going to be okay with seeing an L on the record. And being 1-2 right now sucks. I'm going to get into that at the end of the episode. But it can also be true that the team played much better than we all expected. And the team was winning for a good chunk of the game and had the number one team on the ropes. And you can be proud of that. You can acknowledge that the team played a good chunk of the game well and exceeded expectations, while also saying it sucks to lose. Two things can be true. Moral victory and all that jazz, like that's a very dirty phrase, right? You never want to say, oh, it was a good moral victory. It's not a moral victory. A loss is a loss. Everyone in that locker room is upset because it was right there. But why don't we take solace in the fact that, you know what? We were on the road, top-ranked team, and we had a game plan. And that game plan worked for a good while. So how do we improve off of that? What can we take from this game to improve, but what can we learn in the failings? I think it was talked on game day that that's what Nick Saban says. Like, how do you learn from the failings in a loss? I think this is no better example of how to do that. And it really was just a tale of two halves where after the halftime, you know, Georgia made adjustments. South Carolina just couldn't counter it really well. And it just, you hated to see halftime come, right? Because you were like, man, if we could just keep playing, we're rolling. And it just let everything cool off. It let Georgia catch their breath. And they were able to come out and do what they did in the second half. And then, you know, seeing Juice go down, I mean, that'll hurt your heart. We don't know the full extent of the injury yet. I saw that Shane Beamer said he's going to see a specialist on Tuesday. They think it's something to do with his foot that already has a screw in it. Maybe that kind of is indicative of what he was dealing with. So I guess the hope is that it's maybe if it's a broken foot, it's where it was repaired. So you can, it's quicker rehab. I don't really know. I'm not a doctor, right? But him going down really hurt the team. Because he was playing well, he was involved, he had that great touchdown play, and when he went down, then all of a sudden, the passing game, which had been strong, kind of became a little bit, not one-dimensional, but you were missing that those two threats. And I'll get into this in a bit, but Georgia's able to take that away, and then you were kind of left holding your hand. So you really hope that Juice can come back full on this year. You hate to see it. He was really excited to play. He was locked in as ever, was like the second guy out to warm up on the field. So just really hoping for a speedy recovery from him. So let's get into what I liked and didn't like from the game here. So from the whole team, I liked the fight that the team showed up with, and I liked the game plan that the staff had to open the game with. You know, they were offensively just keeping the chains moving, right? Stuff we had all talked about where you're going to get the ball out of Spencer's hand quickly. Don't let Georgia have a chance to get him on the ground. You took the appropriate deep shots. The execution in general looked better. I mean, the touchdown that Juice had, that's a tough play to pull off, and everyone did their job correctly. And then defensively, you came out, you were aggressive, you didn't let them get too settled, and you just showed up ready to play. And it was not a situation like last year's matchup where you snapped your fingers and all of a sudden you're down multiple scores. They came prepared, they did their job, and you know they were in the game, which is really all you could have asked for. And what I didn't like was the penalties. Just too many penalties. I mentioned before the game, in my crow to the game, that you have to be disciplined. And that you can't give an inch to a team like Georgia to make it any harder on yourselves. And unfortunately, there were just too many penalties that put South Carolina in tough positions, especially as the game went on. That opening, I guess not opening, but the first possession in the second half for South Carolina after Georgia scored. It was a tough return where Leggett just got tripped up, but then there was a penalty. So now all of a sudden you're within your own 10-yard line and you're playing behind the sticks. That was something that in the first half Carolina was able to largely avoid, was being behind the eight ball too much. Or if they were able to get that chunk back. That really set the tone and just the rhythm of the game off. Prior to that, in the first half, the team was playing very good complementary football. Offense was moving. It wasn't getting pinned deep. The defense was able to get off the field and allow the time for the offense to sort of regroup and all that jazz. Once that happened, it really just kind of went off schedule, and it was an example of a penalty that really hurt South Carolina. There were others. Some of them were ticky-tack that, you know, you don't like. And of course, you're looking at it and you're like, you know, what are some of these penalties here? And then the announcing too, which, you know, doesn't have anything to do with the game, but it was sided to the Bulldogs. So that was annoying to see. On the defensive side of the ball, what I liked was you started the game incredibly strong. Before the game, I said it was important for the defense to keep Georgia out of the end zone for the first two drives. That was what I put out there as a crow to the game, and in my head was like, that's setting the bar high for this matchup. They did it for the whole first half. Like, yes, the Georgia kicker missed a couple of kicks, but even so, the defense was able to keep them out of the end zone in the first half. Those would have been 3 points. You know, this was a big moment for the defense and for the players and the staff to come out so ready to play. And it was really encouraging to see. And to me, it tells you that the group is coming together nicely. There are a couple guys and, you know, who are playing more, who were asked to do more in this early part of the season. You know, a guy like Jalen Kilgore comes to mind. O'Donnell Fortune, you're working some new guys in the middle. And to see them come out and execute so well in the first half, I think tells you that the guys are feeling more comfortable in their roles. They're more comfortable with each other, and they're doing their jobs better. And then also for Clayton White and staff, just the scouting that they did and the game plan that they came up with. They did their job in the first half. Again, this is a tale of two halves game, but that was exactly what you would have wanted to see. I also like TJ Sanders. I mean, he was playing like a man possessed in the first half. He was making plays everywhere. Seems to be a guy stepping up and developing very well in that middle of the defensive line. Also, you really got to love Debo Williams. Another guy playing like a man possessed this season, really. He has been a huge asset for our team. There were really multiple guys that had good plays. You know, O'Donnell Fortune had that nice pass breakup. The problem was pretty much all of these good plays were just concentrated in the first half. Which brings me to what I didn't like on the defensive side of the ball, and it was the second half performance, period. You gave up 21 points, including a scoring drive in the very first drive of the half, which just happened entirely too quickly. That was what I was afraid of. That sort of was that flashback to last year's game where it was just too easy for Georgia to do that. You know, the Bulldogs made some adjustments out of the half that South Carolina just simply didn't or could not counter fully. And again, it just felt like once the half came around, all of the swag or just the mojo that the defense was playing with shifted. They cooled off and couldn't quite get it going again. And sometimes you see that in sports. Football's funny where you have the other team making adjustments as well, but sometimes you get guys and they're in the zone. They're playing incredibly well. And the last thing you want is an extended break. Because it felt like right in that first half, South Carolina was hitting the right buttons. And then once they had a minute to think about it, and then more so Georgia did, they couldn't quite figure it out. And, you know, this might be like a couch coach perspective, right? I might not be technically sound here, but it felt like the defense was playing off way more than they did in the first half. And that cushion allowed Georgia to just run it more, just run it freely. And the quick passes were killing us. Allow Georgia to move the sticks with relative ease. So I would have liked to see Clayton White be more aggressive in that second half. It just felt like it was you were conceding some yards, almost anticipating deeper shots from Georgia, but it's not like they were down that much that they would have been that desperate. They relied on the strength of their team, which is always a just big offensive line. They didn't ask Beck to do too much, which credit the defense because, you know, Beck, he made his plays. Bowers, they made, you know, he made plays, but Beck did not have a passing touchdown. So they realized that they couldn't get that side of their game going and they had to rely on the run game. It was just the calls and the setup that Clayton White was doing, it was just not working. And again, the depth was rearing its head. The second half as a whole on the defensive side, it was just the opposite of how the game started from this group, so you don't like that. Which brings me to the offense. What I liked is Spencer. I mean, he has elevated his game. He is in control of this offense. He is accurate. He used his checkdowns very well and effectively. He scrambled effectively when he had to. And I know he had the picks, and maybe the percentage, the completion percentage is not as high as it had been, but towards the end of the game, you know, he was forcing it, right? He knew he had to try to get something cooking, and that's where the picks came from. That's where some of the incompletions came from, just trying to do a little too much, because prior to that, he was in control, and he was sharp. I also liked what we saw in the offensive line, especially in pass protection. I think starting Tree Babbalade on the line was a big reason why we saw that. You know, he had a couple of freshman moments, of course. He had a couple of bad penalties as well, but he's a big dude. He's physical. And you looked at the line, especially again in the first half, and you saw Spencer had enough time to operate. He was not running for his life as much as I think many of us thought was going to be the case. What's the big difference? Tree Babbalade starts, right? You had Baugh as well get some time at guard, but it was more of a rotating thing. So Big Tree, I think you got to leave him in there the rest of the way. And although it was limited, I liked what we saw out of Mario Anderson. He just simply has to continue to get more touches. Which, on the flip side of that, what I didn't like, the rushing offense. Simply put, there is an absence of the ability to run the ball. There is no running game on this team right now. And against some defenses, you can get away with that, especially with how well Spencer is playing. But against tougher defenses like Georgia, they will eventually take away your top option on the outside. And then when you have to go elsewhere and can't, it spells trouble. And, you know, I was understanding of giving Dak Joyner the role of RB1. He earned it from being such an experienced guy, buying into it, practicing and working hard at it, but the experiment is not working. I saw the logic. I got excited for it. It's just not working right now. He can stay in the rotation, right? Like, he needs to be on the field. He's a good football player. But Mario Anderson needs to become the featured back with Juju and DK complimenting him. He's just the most experienced running back we have who is built to do those types of runs between the tackles. When there was a critical third down in the game, it was third and short, who did the team turn to? Mario Anderson, and he got it. That tells you all you need to know. It's great to see DK push his way into the end zone. That's what I'm saying. He's a gamer, loves to compete. But game in and game out, you need someone who has simply done this for years. And that's Mario Anderson, albeit at a different level. But you have to trust him. Spencer Rattler was the leading rusher on the team in the game with 35 yards. We didn't have a running back who did not get 36 yards. At one point, Spencer had like 13 rushing yards and was the leading rusher. That's all you need to know. And I didn't like, of course, the inability to respond in the second half. Georgia did a good job of taking away Xavier Leggett, and the absence of Juice was, again, really rearing its head there because you didn't have two legitimate bona fide threats. So once Leggett got taken out of the game for, they're shading his way, double teams, things like that, you couldn't get anything going. And yeah, there were a couple of drives that looked like maybe things would heat up, but the offense was forced to be too one-dimensional and not being able to get points on the board when you were first fending off Georgia. And then once you were, just within striking distance, but behind, not being able to get points on the board there just really stunk. So again, overall for the game, I am proud of what the team did. Mentally, I was preparing for a tough game. I have that belief going into every game that we can do it. And I was hoping for the best, but sort of preparing for the worst. And these guys, they laid it all on the line. And I think we should all be proud of the team effort that we saw. The second half was an elite team leaning into their depth, making adjustments, and simply just taking over the game. And you would have liked to see us fend that off better, but I think that comes with a couple of different things. Health, depth, on the offensive side of the ball, maybe if you had a little bit more time in the system, if you had a running game, that's different. There's a couple of different things that if they broke our way, maybe it's a different outcome. I think Juice getting hurt was the biggest impact of them all. I think him going down really limited the game plan. I think while Omega Blake did a good job in stepping up in his absence, just having Juice and X on the field at the same time, I think really is tough to defend. So that really hurts. But again, I can take away a lot of good from this game. I think y'all should too. Of course, it stings because you were like, oh my God, we were right there. But it just shows that, hey, progress. This is still a work in progress, is this team. We don't quite have the depth. We don't quite have the running back depth. On the defensive side, there's still a lot of youth. Just these little things reared their head, but even so, the game plan and the coaching and everything like that kept us in the game. So I'm proud of the boys. But right now, you're sitting at 1-2, which means that the Mississippi State game of next week is of massive importance. I had been eyeing that game as a critical matchup for some time now, but with the record that you're at now, this is critical next week. This team, the South Carolina team, has to be able to build off of what they did well in that first half of Georgia and continue to work other guys in and build some of that depth. But with that matchup at home at night next week, all of a sudden, that feels like a must win. I have some early thoughts on that game cooking already. We'll save it for the next episode on the pregame episode, but it's a critical game. And you have to hope that the good that you did in this Georgia game can carry over into that. Mississippi State had a tough game against LSU. Their defense got cooked. But what you really want to avoid is this second half sluggish that you had against Georgia and a little bit of a gut punch of a loss carrying over. You can't have that. So it's going to be really important for Shane to get the guys up for this game and to realize what went well, what didn't go well, and how can we correct and make things improved on both of those. So yeah, was a heck of a game though. Got to really appreciate the effort. My six-pack of picks went 3-3. Interesting games around the country this weekend. Florida versus Tennessee kind of makes you think both teams are a little different than we thought they were initially. Colorado survived in a close game, and Florida State skirted past Boston College. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, or review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.